It's been more than a month since conservative commentator Charlie Kirk was assassinated at a Utah college campus event, sparking conversations about the rise of political violence and growing extremism across the political spectrum. Nearly 3 months before the Kirk assassination, my next guest wrote in the New York Times, in the wake of the assassination and attempted assassination of two Minnesota lawmakers and a spate of other politically motivated attacks in the preceding months, quote, "What is most concerning is that the conditions for political violence today are worsening. We may be on the brink of an extremely violent era in American politics." Well, perhaps even more alarming, University of Chicago political science professor Robert Pape wrote that there is a corresponding rise in public support for this violence on both sides of the political spectrum. Professor Pape, welcome to the Evan Bray Show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So, Professor, every 3 months for the past 4 years, the Chicago Project on Security and Threats, which you direct, has conducted national surveys on support for political violence among Americans. Tell me what those surveys have shown and how those findings have coincided with actual acts of violence.
What our surveys have been tracking is the support for political violence for a variety of very specific grievances that are grievances on the left and grievances on the right. We've been doing this, as you said, for 4 years, about every 3 or 4 months. And what they have found, especially over the last year, which is why I published that op-ed in June in the New York Times, is a near doubling of support for political violence on both the right and the left. And that is extremely concerning. The one thing experts know, who I've studied political violence for 30 years, that the general public and even most political leaders don't know, is that what's behind a spurt, a real rise of political violence in a country, is typically when there's a rise in support for the political violence. So that doesn't mean that any act of political violence fits that bill. So we've had political violence in our country, of course, going back decades and so forth. However, in the last nearly 10 years, we've seen a real spurt, a real rise, a historic rise in political violence on both the right and the left. The Kirk assassination, of course, has been a peak of that. But before that, we had two attempts against Donald Trump, the Republican candidate for president, 2024, attempts against Democratic Leader of the House Nancy Pelosi. So there have been multiple instances here. But what is really worrying is the simultaneous increase of support for political violence on the right and the left, because that means this tidal wave may well continue.
What's come first here, Professor? The chicken or the egg? Is it the support for political violence, or is it the political violence that is spurring that support?
Obviously, there is some interaction effect here. So I'm a scholar. We study that. So the chicken egg analogy is right. Nonetheless, it's really the precursor of the escalations, or often an escalation in the rise in political violence. And so that's we had our May survey, Chicago Project on Security and Threats at the University of Chicago. We did our May political violence survey among Americans. That is what really showed that near doubling. And that's what led me to essentially give early warning or a prediction that this bad things were about to come. And it wasn't just predicting a single point attack. It's that you would then get reactions here by the left. You would get reactions by the right. You would get the essentially effort to take Jimmy Kimmel off the air as punishment by the right against the left. You would get copycat attacks. So don't think of it as just a prediction about a single data point. It's really about this whole era, I call the era of violent populism, escalating.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with University of Chicago political science professor Robert Pape. And Professor Pape, I heard a late night comic retort, not Jimmy Kimmel, but another one retort in recent weeks, something along the lines of, you know, "I miss the good old days when there would be an alarming act of violence and we'd all just share our thoughts and prayers. Now the first question we ask is, which side was the shooter on? Which side of the aisle?" What has your research found about the consequences of this rush to point fingers across the aisle?
Well, as the escalation of violent populism occurs in the United States, unfortunately, it starts to take on its own momentum. You get these spiral effects you're pointing to, the blame game, and also the ducking of responsibility game that I'm sure your listeners are well aware of on both sides. It's not just on one side. And what you're seeing then is as it escalates, it can actually escalate even faster. So we've been seeing this increase in support for political violence actually for several years in our surveys. And it has increased before. And I've warned about this before, so it wasn't the first time. And that's when you got the more medium rises of assassination attempts and other acts of political violence. And then it's doubled again. So what we really don't want to have happen is we don't want it to double yet again. I mean, that really now, we're already have support for political violence that's about 15% of the public on each side of the political spectrum. Mm-hmm. That's pretty high. That's nearly 90 million people in the United States. That's a lot of people. Mm. Those are all adults. And so we don't want that to go up. We certainly wouldn't want that to double. And so this is why the survey work that we've been doing have been the canary in the coal mine. And it's completely understandable that your listeners would not be following that. They haven't studied political violence, 7 days a week for 30 years. So they're just not familiar with what would be the actual warning signs. Mm-hmm. But it's not, this isn't like school shootings. This isn't like workplace violence. So the kind of things that they're used to hearing about, I'm sorry, this is really a different kind of problem. Mm-hmm. And it has different warning signs. And that's just a problem because, the media, it's loaded up with folks from the FBI to give commentary who are used to talking about school shooters. And they're right on that. I work with the FBI all the time. So this is not as if the FBI is wrong about warning signs for school shooters. It just doesn't really carry over to this new era of violent populism.
Professor Robert Pape, you wrote in June in the New York Times about President Trump's, quote, dangerous decision to deploy National Guard troops and U.S. military forces in the Los Angeles area, which not only escalated tensions and increased the risk of military violence against U.S. citizens, but also the strident language with which some of the president's opponents called for resistance. So we've since then seen National Guard members activated in Washington, D.C., in your state of Illinois, in Oregon, a federal task force in Tennessee. What does this say to you in the context of your data?
What this says to me is we're really tempting fate. In the city of Chicago, where I live, we have just literally this week got the results from our new representative survey of Chicagoans. So, again, we've been talking about our national surveys. What we found in our new survey this week, I'm glad to tell your audience, probably among the first to hear, is that 61% of Chicago adults, 61% say they do not want the National Guard in Chicago explicitly. Now, to be clear, 59% don't like the crime. So they're not saying they love the crime. They're not defending crime. They're seeing this as a problem that's worse. Mm-hmm. Further, our survey shows that those 61% think that the goal of the Trump administration is to replace the Democratic leadership of Chicago. And interestingly, a third of Republicans in our survey also think that is the goal. So this is a recipe for real, real problems. And so when Trump just keeps moving forward with all this information showing how dangerous it is, this is clearly tempting fate.
Professor Pape, we've just got a couple minutes left. I want to ask you about Canada, because we've been, as I'm sure you've heard, under threat of annexation by President Trump for several months now with all his talk of the 51st state. I wonder if any of the data you're collecting coincides with these sorts of remarks from the president and I guess his foreign relations.
Well, so several years ago, as I was doing this research, the Canadian government reached out to me and I gave a briefing to your intelligence services and so forth about the issues. The truth is, we haven't done the surveys of Canada, and we can't just take the, people might think, well, can't you just look at other people's surveys? No, these are really special purpose surveys, I'm sorry to say. We're sort of the people that do them basically for the world. And so it's not really the case that it's just like any other surveys and so forth. There's a whole bunch of reasons for that. So I'm sorry. I'd love to be able to give Canada like really specific advice right this second, but it would take actual, it would really take the actual research in the surveys to do it. And that would take a couple months. It wouldn't take years here, but that's the reality of why you're, this is such an important thing. It's like going to a surgeon for lung cancer. You can't just go to your GP and say, well, what should I do? No, you got to go to the specialist, and we're the specialists on political violence.
With just the minute we have left then, Professor Pape, I just want to point out, we've seen similar polarization in Canada as you have in the United States, particularly since the COVID mandates in 2020 and 2021. Ironically, President Trump's calls for our annexation seem to have brought us more together as a country. But I wonder what notes we should be taking from your side of the border when we look at our own polarization so that we don't head down the same path.
The number one thing that Carney should be doing now is just condemning political violence across the board wherever it comes from. Now, that's, he may say, well, why do that now? It's a problem in America. It's not our problem. Well, this is how you keep it from becoming your problem. You take some steps in advance. That's always a challenge for political leaders because they've got short periods of time. They only have so many hours in the day. But this has really, really now become quite an important problem. And the truth is there are real ways this could spill over. I would love to be able to do this more specifically, as I told you. But in the short term, the real thing to do is to just simply routinely be condemning political violence across the political spectrum, across parties. Doesn't really matter which grievances this is for. It is always illegal. It is always immoral. And it's always against the Canadian way.
A lesson for our Prime Minister, but a lesson for all of us as well. University of Chicago political science professor Robert Pape, thank you so much for your time. Well, I know you're writing a book on this topic. We'll have to have you on before it's published again next year, but I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Very interesting to hear Professor Pape's comments. Well, looking up at the TV screen and seeing our Prime Minister make an announcement on violent crime here in Canada, of course, not speaking specifically about political violence, but we're going to get into that a little bit after the break, what the Prime Minister had to say about bail reform and an injection of cash for our Mounties in this country. I'm Tamara Cherry. You're listening to The Evan Bray Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.